foot still hurts.
Nobody cares about your foot, Devin.
Belt-related injuries are an important
topic that needs to be... You got beaten by your dad with the belt again.
Wait, join the club.
Not what I was referring to. I was talking about the traps and landmines left by people like myself everywhere, which is a belt on the floor and then stepping on it. I don't know.
I do know what you're talking about,
but that's not what I'm complaining about.
You don't still get. Okay, well.
I don't live with my dad.
that's never stopped anybody.
That's fair. He could at any moment just kick down my door and be like, get over here,
you fucking finished your broccoli.
We don't even have broccoli. Drink some water. Tonight. Never over my dead body.
Just like completely mundane things. Start beating you. Turn the channel to 4 so I can watch the game.
Wow.
Welcome to an unrestful homes podcast.
I never thought I'd say this, at least not in public on air. I'm glad I don't have a dad.
I mean,
hold on. We can do this for Justin too. Gonyo! And grabs a flip flop, throws it.
Yeah.
He's acting like he didn't have these experiences with a different parent before. She had to do the work of both.
It transcends nationalities.
It transcends, but it's also she had to do the work of both parents.
That's what she told me all my life.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
She told me
she was mom and dad, and I'm just here like, I think you could just, you know, be a mom or whatever. I don't know. Parents are weird.
Just unpacking your emotional and childhood trauma. I understand what I've done, and I regret everything.
Stepping on a belt buckle, and you're like, "Up, time to get my belt."
Here comes dad from the top rope with the
Italian
belt.
And you came out. Oh, every problem could be solved by a belt buckle.
Time to break the cycle, guys.
We have to break the cycle.
When we have kids, we got to use something else, like a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, man.
So One Piece, guys. Hey.
Right. We did watch that.
Justin, I'm going to assume you don't feel like reading your own summary, so I'll take the load off for you. Because also, listening to Devin read summaries is giving me aneurysms. Ooh. So
understandable.
This one's nice, short and sweet. And here we go. All right, kids. Justin has been awake for about 16 hours after sleeping through his entire day off from work and waking up at 9 p.m., I'm sure that's all you need to hear to see how well a summary goes. This week, we've started watching a new show called Past Piece, starring.
That's starting.
It does say starting, but he means starring. That's fine.
I blame him, correct.
He was very, very tired. As we've already pre-qualified, 16 hours. Starring Trafalgar D. Water Law and the whole Doflamingo family from about 16 years ago. We get a glimpse of why Law once gave himself a prognosis of 3 years left to live, what exactly happened to Doflamingo's family during that one fiery scene, as well as the beginning of how Law and Corazon became so close. That's it. That's the summary. If you want more details, just listen to the rest of the episode, where we hopefully talk about this week's events instead of some 20-minute tangent about some other random anime, in before we gloss over a bunch of key details. Happy April Fools, by the way.
What if we just end the recording right now?
All right, everybody. It was a great one. I really enjoyed these episodes. Not much happened this week, so we're probably just going to end it here. I think the summary did a pretty good job. The only thing left to do is for Devin to do the thing.
This week's episode is brought to you by Lead-Based Paint.
Hold on. Ayo, Dylan, I need you to 5:45 mark. That sounds right. We're into the podcast 5:45.
What if we ended up getting like a bear, like the paint brand bear sponsor before bear this?
Sponsored by not letting it anymore.
We got a Benjamin Moore sponsorship. Oh, incredible.
Sponsored by Stanley Cups. Yes, they have lead in them.
Like the hockey trophy?
No, ones that American Housewives are going crazy over.
Everyone's finding out now that there's a lead there to keep it. The reason why it stays so cool, everything that you put in it, is because there's a lead liner. However, unfortunately, the lead liner is somewhat leaking into the cup.
Hey, I heard about that report because this is a real story that I thought you were memeing, but I remember the story. Allegedly, the amount of lead in those cups is negligible. Everything is fine. All right. No panic.
My daily minerals never tasted so good.
I mean, I grew up fine.
Did you?
No.
Well, okay. You were eating a bag of chips off the wall. They're just getting a little microdose when they take a sippy sip.
I like the crunch.
I also liked crunch. So, I got rid of the lead in my building before I got a chance to taste them.
While we're on the topic, lead poisoning.
Lead-based paint. Why did they have to give it a special name?
What is the special name in your translation?
It's just white lead.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I actually have an explanation for this. So that is technically a mistranslation. So as we all may or may not know, kanji is a very complicated system of writing an alphabet and whatnot. So the way the kanji is written, you can read the word haku. And in one context, and the one that's intended mainly, haku means amber. And then the rest of the kanji reads as, you know, makes it amber lead. However, I guess there's a different way of reading part of that kanji where you get the same word haku, but in that context, it means white. So there's probably some intentional play by Oda here where you can both get white lead or amber lead. But the intended name of this condition is amber lead syndrome. I recognize, like, when I was watching and I saw my subtitles and say white lead.
Too?
Say that again?
Were they colored wrong too?
I was going to say, like, their skin is white though.
No, that's part of it. I don't know why it's called amber lead. That's just like the intended name.
Lead is lead. Change my mind.
I don't understand anymore. I wasn't going to complain about white. I think Devin's point, well, this wasn't even Devin's point, I don't think. Devin's point was just call it lead poisoning. Why does it got to be white lead?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a happy accident of an explanation now.
I'm pretty sure white lead like actually exists, though.
I'm going to Google it.
I don't know. I just took it at face value. The name matched the color discoloration of the skin.
First thing I get is a helpline. I didn't think anything.
So
the first thing I get is a helpline, you know, like, that's good.
Yeah, that's probably good, actually. Yeah.
White lead, however, tended to cause lead poisoning, is been your its use has been banned. Yes, I know, white lead. So white lead's a thing, but I guess it's just lead.
Like you said, lead, sure, is lead.
Lead is lead.
Lead white, lead historical aspects, I can't read.
I think
white lead is extremely poisonous.
I don't think we need this anymore. Thanks for that. You can close the tab now and return
to us. The more you know.
Maybe it's because of every single picture of lead, Devin! Lead poisoning is from like people.
The lead chips in his brain are trying to find their lead.
White, you can go on the lead poisoning
skin
rabbit
is
hole.
White.
I am annoyed with myself for the
go
last.
On. Tell me more.
For the last like two episodes. Because, uh-huh, like episodes of the podcast, that is, because I was going to bring up, mm-hmm, two episodes ago, so six One Piece episodes ago or whatever, when Law performed the surgery on himself, when we were standing there before, what the fuck's her name? Sugar. Before Sugar made her, mm-hmm, appearance, and he pulled the bullets out of his chest or his stomach, and he specifically, right, pointed out that they were lead bullets. And I was going to bring up, during that episode, what the significance of lead bullets could possibly be other than just like giving him lead poisoning. And then I forgot. And then I was going to do it again last week when we were talking about the reasons that Law would have or not have gotten the op-op fruit from Corazon. And I was going to bring up the like affliction that he had being potentially lead poisoning because of the lead bullets, and Doflamingo is just an asshole shooting him with lead bullets to remind him of it. And then I forgot then too. So now
it's funny.
I'm sitting here and my like gotcha moment has been taken by my own stupidity because Now it's been revealed, and I'm just a regular schmuck like the rest of everybody.
Well, I appreciate, you know, the honesty, but at the same time, it's like looking back now that you brought it up, because I completely forgot about the lead bullets. That is actually pretty funny when you really think about it. Like, hey, you, fuck you, lead bullets.
Yeah. I mean,
remember the time you got lead poisoning? Here you go. Here's more. Yeah,
because plus 5 emotional damage.
Yeah, it's literally just psychological damage at that point, because clearly the op fruit allowed him to survive this white lead poisoning. So a few lead bullets is going to mean nothing. And so Law being able to tell that it's lead bullets, I guess by the weight or color of them, I have no idea. Unless Law has some innate ability to touch a metal and be like, yes, titanium.
Hold on, let me lick this piece of metal. Yeah. This is lead. Yeah,
it tastes like the poisoning I once had as a child.
Tastes like home.
It's purely a fuck you move out of Doflamingo. Tastes like home, yeah. It's purely a fuck you move out of Doflamingo to shoot him with lead bullets specifically, because otherwise it should mean nothing.
The real question is, how long has he had that gun with lead bullets just waiting?
He keeps
or is all his bullets just lead, just be like,
just in case he crosses Trafalgar Law.
Exactly. Like, did he pull like a, you know, Jack Sparrow from, you know, the first one where he keeps the one bullet?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean,
or did he like just, you know, fuck everyone just in case? Yeah.
I think he has that gun specifically for him.
Two. Part of me feels like hopes it's part one, you know, the first option, but part two also makes sense, where it's like he would definitely be putting lead in the fucking water.
Yeah. Especially after what Dream we learn in these episodes.
Yeah.
So Christian, when exactly do we learn these episodes? Please
lead us. Boy, what a loaded question. So at a base level, we got not one, but two backstories for the price of one. Because we got some Law backstory, and then we got backstory within the backstory when
motherfucking Inception,
fucking backstoryception, loreception over here. We get fucking Doflamingo backstory, and just in the middle of this, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's funny that we literally double dipped on backstory, and so now we get Law backstory as just him joining the crew and trying to kill Corazon, and then his general development of his relationship with Corazon. And in the middle of this, we get sleeping Doflamingo, and Doflamingo's dreaming about the night and series of events that led up to the night where his family is like brutally tortured. And, well, I say his family minus mom, because mom was spared this agony by dying early. And so now we've learned Doflamingo's origin story of his father bringing them down from Marijoire. And let me tell you, Doflamingo has been his own unmaking on that one. I mean, the people were probably going to be angry no matter what, but Doflamingo really expedited that process.
I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
I think so. I remember probably last week or the week before, Christian was like, except probably asked him, was like, oh, like, what do you think happened to his family or whatever? And he was like, you know, he probably said some shit and started some shit, and this is a consequence of his actions. Excuse me. I think the second his father, homing, announced that he was a celestial dragon in any capacity, they were sharpening their pitchforks the second he said that shit. He was like, oh, no, sorry, gotta go home. Because
they didn't start showing the pitchforks until Doflamingo was like, hey, slaves, get out of my way. I'm going to shoot you in the middle of town hall.
But they already had shown very clear discomfort and like alarm.
Discomfort versus good jump. Like there's a big jump.
I think we're putting a whole lot of blame on like an 8-year-old kid. And I think it's very much misplaced.
Hey, sometimes these people were angry
well before they got here. Honestly, Doflamingo could have shut up, and I think the same results would have happened. And so I don't remember exactly what I asked you, Christian, a while back, but I'll ask you this now. How do you? I guess I'll start with this. How do you feel about this tragic moment for Doflamingo? How do you think it plays into the character as we know him now?
I think it's pretty straightforward. One of the last things we see of them being tied to that wall is Doflamingo basically cursing the name of every person there, and by extension, just wishing hell on anybody really that's not him. So I think it perfectly encapsulates the version of Doflamingo that we get now, where he's just like, I don't give a shit, dude. I'm burning everything to the ground. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck those guys up there, too. But especially fuck you people.
Do you think he's justified?
No. No.
That was an interesting pause.
But the pause was the incredulousness of, like, why would he ever be justified in this? Sure.
The audacity of the question.
Yeah, like sure, he, like, his family was brutally tortured, but also... The only thing we haven't gotten is the part where, assuming it's true, he kills his own father and brings the head up to Mary Joie. I don't know at what, I don't know how the townspeople just let them go or what exactly happens here that all three of them make it out of this situation alive. Maybe the townspeople just leave them up there to like suffer in their injuries and one of them breaks free somehow. Maybe somebody frees them. Who knows? Either way, they make it out of this. Doflamingo allegedly kills his dad and brings the head up. So this is the only part we're missing. But either way, Doflamingo has gone on to not only engage in a lot of very, very awful shit like human trafficking, drug producing and selling, and murder. So no, forgive me if I don't think he's justified in his actions up to this point.
I guess I only ask because, and this is like an assumption I'm making at this moment, when I think about prior villains, like, I guess with added context, people like Arlong and Hody Jones, where they, I in some capacity, they start off as a victim, right? And I think you can objectively say that happens to Doflamingo here. And so they both suffer, both of these villains suffer some incredible amount of tragedy that they really don't deserve, that they so are truly innocent victims.
Hold on
okay.
for a second. No, I got this. It's a trend that was kind of set place for a while. And this is why this is so refreshing, is that a lot of villains lately in the past, like 10, 15 years have always been portrayed as morally great. Like, for example, Thanos, you know, instead of just being a bastard for being a bastard, he has a reason behind being a bastard. Doflamingo is not a morally gray. He is evil. That's why I like him. There's no morally gray behind it. Like, sure, yeah, he was, you know, some bad shit happened to him. But look at this is the equivalent of like beating up the racist kid and then him doing something awful afterwards. Like, he kind of had it coming, and now he's just amplifying his evilness.
I see your point, but I wonder if this simply had not happened, could have Doflamingo changed?
Absolutely not.
Which part are you talking specifically about, like what happens to him, his dad and his brother, that part, if that doesn't happen? So in your scenario, are you just saying that they live out their life normal, like they never get attacked and they live as normal humans up to the age he is now?
Yeah. If none of that tragedy happened to that family, is there a world where like Homie could like rehabilitate his son, essentially?
I don't know. It seems like the answer is probably not, but I don't think Doflamingo would be as batshit evil of a character that he is now without the tragedy. He would be an asshole, probably, because he'd most likely still want slaves or maybe have even started a minor slave business in the first place without the tragedy. He could have just stuck to his ways the whole time. He was a shithead kid, and despite the fact that his mom and dad seemed relatively nice, and Corazon, whose real name is Rosinant, right? Rosinant. Also seems like nice guy, nice kid. Doflamingo just kind of at the time still seemed through and through like a shithead. At the time, he's a kid, so you can kind of brush it away as just, this is what he's known his entire life, and now it's being taken away from him. So
I feel like how the children developed is that, like, because Corazon was so young that he didn't get imprinted on societally by the celestial dragons. Well, Doflamingo,
Justin, can you tell us the age gap between them while he continues?
I actually don't know, but I can look that up.
Because I'm assuming like he's like three.
I don't think that's true. Doflamingo is like 10.
Doflamingo is like 10. That's what I mean.
I think Corazon is like only a couple years younger at best.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure in that backstory, Doflamingo is 8. I could be wrong about that.
I would put Corazon at like 6.
But that's why I think Corazon is still has his humanities, because he didn't get the imprinting from the Society of Celestial Dragons like Doflamingo did.
Right. But to some extent, he probably recognizes why the things that happen to them happen and goes through the same right. thing that Doflamingo does, but doesn't end up nearly as fucked in the head. So my point is that Doflamingo probably doesn't ever become a good person. He becomes much less of an asshole, but at his core, I think Doflamingo, is just too bad of a person.
He's rotten
to the core. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Now I'm just picturing Doflamingo on a chopper.
Like, did you see what he was wearing the whole time in the backstory?
Exactly my point.
You see that hair?
Like, oh.
I can't wait to see what his eyes look like. Because clearly he's gotten one shot out, it seems like.
He's got the motherfucking Rinnegan. And this is where we get the tie-in to Naruto. Right.
Yeah.
And then Goku comes out of nowhere and punches him in the
schnoz. It's a little weird, too, that I get the part where he seems to have gotten one of his eyes shot out during that scene, but even before that, when he's a kid, we still he's always wearing sunglasses and we just never get to see his eyes even as a child. It almost makes me wonder if something is it almost makes me wonder if there's actually a reason for it, or if it's just
artistic aspect of it, like,
but see, like, Rosinant, I'm gonna keep going back and forth between them. Corazon also can't see his eyes. He's got the hentai protagonist haircut as a child. And
it's so true. No.
But in the future, he's Corazon. You can see his eyes. We're allowed.
Oh no. That is so bad.
Justin, did you ever actually find their ages, or did you just stop?
I am trying.
Is it Corazon's? Like, does the wiki not just have both of their ages?
It has their ages, but like, it doesn't have their age when they're both like on screen together. If that makes sense, I'm trying to figure that out.
Subtract 16
age gap. Yeah, I did, and then the math didn't. Math out, like, it genuinely didn't make sense. It would have implied that Doflamingo was younger, which is not the case. And so the internet has done their best to figure it out. They're guessing anywhere from less than a year to 8 years of an age gap.
No fucking way it's 8 years. That's insane.
All right, this one Reddit user thinks he's only 2 years older.
That 2 to 3 years sounds right to me, based off of more or less what they look like. What does it not have, like, Doflamingo's present day age?
His present day is 41, and if I did that math correctly, minus 16 is 25. Yeah, 25. But according to the wiki, the age we get introduced to Corazon is 26, and I'm like, well, that doesn't math. So as you can see here, this is not as straightforward as I would like it to be. For some,
what was Doflamingo's current day age?
I'm 41? Assuming he's 4.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
41, 25, and then you said Corazon is what, 26?
Age of death, 26. Hold on. Hold on.
There was a minor time skip in between there too. It was 16 years to time of death was 26 for him, which means at the beginning of the backstory he's 24, because it's a 2 year time skip within the backstory.
Yes. Okay, so judging from this, he is 1 year younger.
So he's like roughly 1 year younger then. Two at worst.
We did it.
Anyway, glad we figured that out. Yeah, Doflamingo slightly older. So So Corazon's old enough to like understand the position that the Celestial Dragons are in and the power that they hold, but is still a good kid. Like,
well, it makes you wonder how long was, so we don't know how long Homing had this like change of heart, this ideology exactly, in terms of like, maybe he started off as a shithead just like his son. And at some point, you know, something happened where he had a change of heart. He's like, you know what? I'm also just a human being, and I really shouldn't like live the life I'm currently living. It's bad for the soul. So I'm going to abandon it.
Well, it's probably when you join the military.
What are you on about? What?
No, he's talking about the father. When the father makes the decision to come down from Mary Joa and live like a normal person.
Oh, see, that I could already see as, or the logic behind that, you know. Logic, right? He's just doing gentrification.
I think he just genuinely wanted to live like a person.
Yeah. Now, do I think there is like an inherent flaw of how he tried to go about it? Yes.
Did you see? My favorite was, don't worry, our kids, we're going to live like a humble family of four. And then they're in this giant fuck off mansion with treasure chests full of gold. What are you talking about, dude?
They have enough money for the rest of time. They're going to live comfortably. Yeah, that guy, you know, I think a part of me wants to respect his attempt, but also another part of me is like, wow, you are so far removed from reality and you're trying real hard to get back to it. But this is not how everyday folk live. I'm sorry to inform you. You got to give up just a little bit more. I know you want to provide for your family and all that. And you've probably never worked a day in your life. You probably don't even know what working is.
Well, I don't even think he knows how to shop.
Yeah, honestly, that might be his first grocery trip. Go to the market, look for apples.
He's kind of right. He did. They did kind of walk in there on some hey fellow kids shit, because he walks over and he walks over to the first stand and he goes, "Hey, I'd like to buy some food." Yeah, okay. Like, what food do you want? Like, I got apples. A guy down over there's got meat. Like, what are you looking for?
Hello, fellow humans. I would like to buy some sustenance. Yeah,
literally.
Paste.
I would like some nutrition cubes, please. He really did. Now that you pointed out, that's pretty good. To answer your point, though, as to how long Homing may have had this idea, I don't know how long he's had the idea necessarily, but clearly for a while he's been opposed to the celestial dragon way of life, because one of the guys who's standing there incredulous that they're leaving talks about how Homing had been a contrarian and gone against the heresy of him going up against celestial and challenging celestial dragon ideals for some time. So he's clearly been falling out of love with the celestial dragon way of life for some time. Who knows how long? Maybe he was born a good kid like his son Rosanant, and then just finally grew up into a position where he could make the decision finally. It's just unfortunate that he had a kid like Doflamingo and also made the stupid decision of announcing 0.2 seconds into his retirement that he was a former celestial dragon. So,
well, like, see, I hear a little bit of blame put on Doflamingo. He's just a kid. Why are we not blaming Homing and his mother?
I said before that this probably would have happened anyway. It just, Doflamingo expedited the process.
I don't know, man. I feel like Homing is getting a pass on this.
Devin, it seems like he is, but
no, absolutely not. I just said he's gentrifying.
That is true. No, he did say that. Homing's an idiot for sure.
I wasn't. Oh yeah, Doflamingo is just evil.
Do we believe that? I mean, I don't know. I like to. I don't know. Like later on in the episodes,
himself, he has no humanity. Fuck yeah,
Rosiante did say that. Like he basically just called his brother like outright evil from birth, and I don't know. I find something like that kind of hard to believe. I don't truthfully believe that people are like just born evil. That's something you got to like cultivate. You know what I mean?
But look at his family,
in, like, prime environment. Yeah, and that's why I asked this question cultivated. Of like, well, how. That's why I asked the question of like, well, what happened with Dofi? Like, was this just like a, you know, I'm an only child, so I don't live this experience. But from what I hear is that the first kid is like the experiment. You know, the parents are new. They don't know what's going on. They make a bunch of mistakes. And then for the second kid, like Rosanante, they figure it all out. And they're like, hey, don't worry. We messed up your older brother, but you're going to turn out great, kid.
As the third kid, I can guarantee they do not figure true. It all out.
It's like, it's not a true thing. It's like what it ends up being more like, that's a generalization, is that the first child has a tendency to be put under like stricter rule sets. And then subsequent children have a little bit looser sets because the parents kind of like do things a little bit differently potentially. Like that's a better generalization than.
And then the third one is just
throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Do you have a pulse? Good.
Yeah.
Go away.
I think that's a slightly better generalization than just parents figure it out with the first kid. Or no, the first kid is experiment, figure it out with the rest. It's not necessarily the case. I think it's better to say like what I said first one tight, tighter leash. Gotcha. Second one, you know, you loosen up a little bit. Third one, just let him eat the pain.
It's like managing effort is like the best way. The first one, when there's only one, lot of effort into it. Second one, you get a little bit of effort, but I got two of you now. Three, okay, I'm out of effort. Figure it out. First one, you take some responsibility. Shit. And then after that, it's just
right.
Like,
oof. And of course, these are generalizations and not the case for everybody, but I think it's like probably a little more in line with what happened here in that, you know, Doflamingo may have been more tethered.
Be a good celestial dragon. Remember, slavery's yeah, he good.
May have ended up.
Second one. Okay, slavery's good, but I didn't got time. I got to make sure the other one's not doing extra slavery.
He may have gotten more tethered to celestial dragon ideas off the rip because his parents didn't really know what else to do. And then Rose and Aunt might have gotten more like home love type of deal, you know, something along those lines, I guess, is probably kind of what happened. But I think even still, you know, with Doflamingo having the mother and father that he did, and they're clearly pretty nice people, very loving, caring people, not fit for celestial dragonhood. You know, there's a little bit to be said there about the inherent ideals and the way that Doflamingo's brain works that's just different. So
I just can't help but feel that Doflamingo is kind of let down by systems and primarily his parents. That's my argument here.
Or he's just a rat bastard evil person.
I choose not to believe that kids are just evil, bro.
Some kids are fucking evil.
I think you gotta cultivate that, and you figure it out eventually as you get older. Like once you hit middle school, that's when kids figure it out. That's when they learn to master their craft. That's when they choose their, you know, if you ever played some like RPG and you got to like pick your alignment,
that's where they choose your karmic their stats and what renegade or paragon they're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They hit level 3 and they got to choose their subclass.
They pass the tutorial. Yeah, they pass the tutorial. They get to the subclass selection and they're like, all right, evil rat bastard, bet.
Basically, that's my understanding. That's my lived experience personally. But we can get off this train. I've beat the dead horse enough.
So
do you feel like this? No, we already talked about that. What else is there to talk about? So we skipped a little bit. Sticking with this guy, Doflamingo.
Hi.
Hey, Christian. Did you see
what are you talking about, man? He's front and fucking center, baby. Not in the most ideal situation. Laughing at some dudes beating the shit out of Corazon and Doflamingo. But, you know, he was there. Panda Man made an appearance for the first time in a long fucking time.
I wasn't going to fucking miss it. 1505. Yep,
on episode 702.
Nice.
Front and center. He's one of three people on screen. It's Panda Man, a dude, and dude's girlfriend. All laughing at Doflamingo getting the shit beaten out of him. Shame on you, Panda Man,
by the way. Out here watching two kids get beaten that are impoverished for eating bread, bro.
I mean, they definitely stole it. They point that out, but you know.
Shame on Panda Man.
Not a great look for Panda Man, but what? He's clearly reformed since then. This is a flashback from a long time ago.
I don't know. We saw him on the Impel Down roster. I don't know. Did he really
reform? For, you know, for like a while, he was pretty good. He just, you know, this was 16 years ago. It's kind of, you know, things like this are hard to shake.
He had a relapse of awful behavior. Well,
we've seen him on pirate crews in between now and then.
But pirates aren't necessarily
bad. No, but like
bad.
95% of the other pirates out there besides the Straw Hats are
right.
Like pretty universally like fuckers all across the board.
All right, glad we got the Panda Man. Let's go back a little bit to Law's primary lens of the backstory with the white town of Flevance. So there during the episodes, there's like a heist scene, if you want to call it that, between the Doflamingo family. They're just kind of pulling a job off, and Baby Five more or less asks the question of like, oh, like what's wrong with Law, and Senor Pink answers her question along with Gladius explaining what happened, like where Law is from. He's from Flevance. He has Amberlett syndrome, what that all entails. And as they're going through their explanation of the disease, which we'll get into in a second, we get a glimpse into Law's mind as he thinks about like the awful, awful tragedy that occurred here. So the city of Flevance was a very wealthy town because it had a very lucrative mining industry. It discovered something called Amberlett. It was really pretty. You can make it into anything. So they used it into everything. They made silverware. They made their buildings from it. They made jewelry from it. Everything you can think of, they made it with Amberlett. They have plenty of it to go around.
Sounds very realistic. cough, I'll get to 1940s.
That. I'll get to that. So they build an entire economy off of it. And the world government, as well as, you know, other, you know, noble celestial dragons, people in power, yada, 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 they get in on it. Particularly the Navy signs up for like shipping contracts. So they agree to be the primary, you know, provider of shipping this stuff around the world. Eventually, the government decides to do a like geographical survey of Amber Lead. They do some experiments on it and they figure out that this stuff is poisonous. And then they don't tell anybody because they want to keep making a buttload of money from the shipping industry part of this. And so these people are mining the Amber Lead. They are basically ingesting it because the stuff is poisonous to the touch. And the way it works is that you get trace amounts of poison as you are exposed to the lead. It accumulates in your body. I don't know if like the lead itself is passed down through children or it's just like the disease. But either way, there's a hereditary aspect of this all and it accumulates in kids. So you pass it down to your kid. And with each generation, your life expectancy drops significantly to the point where eventually your kid is just going to like not even make it to his 10th birthday. Right. And so we see that happen in real time. One day during Law's childhood, everyone in town just kind of like falls down flat on their ass from the disease because from, you know, the little kids to like your grandparents, everyone just suddenly developed the late stage symptoms of Amber Lead syndrome at the same time. So they get white hair, white patches in their skin. Apparently, this thing is just like super duper painful in general and no one knows how to cure this thing or operate on it. And so the neighboring towns of around Flevance catch wind of what's going on. And they're just like, wow, a bunch of people just got really sick really quickly with the same thing. It must be contagious. So they quarantine the Flevance, which is cool. Makes sense. Public health crisis. They should be quarantined. Except they don't offer an ounce of aid. They just kind of let those people stay in their hole and maybe it fixes itself. Naturally, it doesn't work. They are kind of like put under like a military regime kind of thing going on. The people try to break out to find help. And every other neighboring nation is like, oh, well, they took their lead bullets and like shot first. So now this is us defending ourselves. And they basically just wipe Flevance off the map. They do some really heinous stuff, you know, war crimes and all that. And we see Law living through this. It is painful. I forgot Law had a sister and we don't see what happens to her, thankfully, but we can all but assume
happened. She's in a closet, laughed, we left, and the building was burned to the ground. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
We see his parents equals cinders. Mm-hmm.
His parents were shot down by these military folk. Everyone in town was shot down. I think personally the worst part was there was a nun who approached him saying, hey, like, come with us. There were some like nice soldiers saying they're going to like evacuate kids or whatever. And Law stays behind to like stay with the sister. And then we find out that was obviously a lie. And the nun and the children with her are, you know, massacred. And it is all very, very, very sad to watch personally. Jump in anywhere? Anything to say at this point?
Not only is this Law living through it, it's one fucking night. it's like an hour, bro. He is sitting with his sister. He has the conversation with the nun and all the kids. And then he goes back home and he goes to talk to his little sister. And then he hears noises and puts his little sister in the closet so she can hide. First strike, finds his parents dead. Dude, a bunch of them are running. A bunch of the soldiers are running down the hallway and they go, two more neutralized. And you go, oh, boy, here we go. And it's his parents. He finds them, of course. Has to run away from the house because he gets chased out and stumbles upon the nun and all the kids dead in the streets. Strike two. Eventually makes his way back to the home so he can collect his sister and get away with her. Hopefully the whole thing's burning to the ground. Strike three. This is all in the this is in the span of a couple of hours. It's not even like he lived through it like weeks at a time. It's all crushing him in one moment, basically. And it's not hard to see how Law ended up with the deep bags under his eyes and the shitty fuck this world attitude that he ends up with that we see later. It's incredible that you see him in the state in the present day where things are a little bit more optimistic, but that took a whole lot of work on the part of mainly one guy in particular, and then probably some friendship along the way afterwards. But like how he, like whatever, however he ended up with his current pirate crew. Shout out Beppo one time. Mm-hmm. And
shout out to my boy Beppo.
So it is brutal what he had to go through as well. And that's how Doflamingo sees them as kindred spirits, and it's like, I'm gonna make you my right hand man in 10 years. We're gonna find a way to keep you alive, and you're gonna be my right hand man. And Corazon's just sitting there like, damn bro, that's crazy. I'm sitting right here. You're just gonna say that to my face while I'm sitting right here, your current right hand man.
Any thoughts, Devin? Because if not, I'm gonna lead into a little bit of a dump about Amberled and the real world parallels.
Doflamingo didn't. He didn't go out of his way to find a cure.
Do we know that? Because Law's alive. He seems Amber Led free.
I'm just saying that, well, Doflamingo didn't.
We don't. Well, to be fair, not that I want to give Doflamingo a lot of credit here, but in that 2 years, it's possible that they went out of their way to like try and find something, because Doflamingo specifically talks about how they have this black market connections and is like, there's probably a devil fruit out there. They don't find it in those 2 years, so who knows? But yeah, Corazon's the one who actually goes out and is like, I'm going to bring this boy to every fucking hospital that I know of and that I find. He's just the one that doubled down.
And he realizes how awful that is and traumatizing for Law that is, knowing he somehow doesn't, I guess, expect that these medical centers are so unhelpful. One, because they quite literally can't. They don't have any treatment. But also, Law is still stigmatized by society, and
I bet Doflamingo figured this would happen.
Didn't see it coming.
He read the book.
He probably did.
He had that book on Flavins. You remember? That was the one that was covering his face.
Are you intentionally mispronouncing things today?
Wait, is it Flavins?
Oh, it's an A. Flavins. Flevons.
Flevons. Okay. So it's Flevons, and it's Rosinante.
I said his name right. You said it wrong. You said like Rosinante or something earlier. You left off an N.
I did say that wrong the first time, but you still said it wrong the time you said it. It is Rosinante.
I'm not pronouncing it with the accent.
Then just say Rosinante.
That's what I've been saying. Rosinant.
You've been saying Rosinant.
I've been saying Rosinant the entire time.
You're wrong. Anyway, so Amberled syndrome and its real world parallels. There's a lot, so strap in. Amberled syndrome is similar to asbestos, a highly profitable mineral, once globally used and found in all kinds of goods. The use of asbestos was discontinued when it was discovered to cause serious harm and fatal diseases. Much like Amberled, many governments ignored scientific and medical reports about asbestos toxicity, continuing to allow its use up into the 1980s. When the negative effects were discovered in the 1890s, that's almost 100 years that we ignored all that.
Cheap is cheap.
Incredible. I didn't realize how bad that was. Moving on to another parallel. Some believe that amberled poisoning seems very similar to cadmium poisoning. In Japan, they have a name for this thing called Itai disease, and Itai translates to it hurts. Similarly to amberled syndrome, cadmium poisoning is known to cause pain all over the body and paleness of the skin. The fate of Flevons also mirrors cases of cadmium poisoning in Japan during its industrial revolution in the early 20th century. As the need for metal continues to grow, pollution from mining operations went unchecked, eventually resulting in rivers being contaminated with cadmium. The water from the river was used to irrigate rice fields, and the poison began slowly accumulating in the bodies of people through eating rice. Amberled is also possibly a reference to the chemical of arsenic, which possesses similar symptoms, such as it accumulates slowly in the body, cannot be flushed, and eventually reaches deadly levels. Someone wrote here a story about, I guess this is like a company from France called Saucine Arsenic and Gold Mining. I don't know how to pronounce that first French word. But it was during the 18th century in Saucine, France. Gold mining operations were underway, and coincidentally, the gold they were mining was very close to... They also found it with arsenic, and so, you know, they got exposed through that way. And last year, real lead also has the ability to pass through parent to child. Lead settles in the bones, particularly like your femur, which is where you produce blood cells. Lead settles in the bones and the increased need for calcium during pregnancy can cause this lead to re-enter the bloodstream. When in the bloodstream, either from accumulated or active poisoning, lead can pass through the placenta
and can even taint breast milk. So, yeah, this is, we can already see that, like, this Amberlet situation
with Levon's. He's going to get new bones. He's going to get adamantine bones. Going to become Wolverine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That is, some awful stuff.
Very. Yeah. It's painful. It's painful stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm. Can I bring something up completely off topic, but also in the backstory?
What's up?
So during the scene where Corazon uses his, devil fruit, and Law and him are having a chat about, like, the will of D and everything, giving us a little bit more oomph on that. I want to bring our attention to a little rat at 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
He literally means the rat, doesn't he?
Yes.
Where was could a rat. You possibly be going with this?
And I loved it. I love the animation of it so much. It's just like the 6 minutes and 30 seconds of the third episode, I believe it is. It's like a rat on the roof with an apple core in his mouth, and it's just numbing on it, but it's like so poorly animated. Oh. It is hilarious.
Okay. I just like
like, it doesn't actually have a chewing thing. Like, it's like open, close, open, close, open, close on the core. And it is the funniest looking rat on the planet. I love it.
Leave it to Devin to find the janky ass shit.
Yes, I took a note. It was the jankiest looking rat, too.
So stupid.
I fucking love the rat.
Great. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Great.
Well, I gave you a lot more credit than I should have with where you're going to go with that conversation. But you know what? He brought up Rosinante. And so we're gonna start with Rosinante. So we learned a lot about this character in a short amount of time. So we already knew he was Dofi's younger brother. And he's introduced to us as this bumbling idiot who is selectively mute. According to Flamingo, is due to a traumatic event. We assume it's when him and his family were beaten and tortured in the city, or just, their lives, whatever. But it turns out that's not the case. Rosinante can talk the entire time. He just chooses not to. But also, coincidentally, quote unquote coincidentally, part of me still thought that's part of the power. He has eaten a devil fruit called the Calm fruit. And we don't know a whole lot about the fruit, but what we do know is that he can make soundproof spaces with that fruit, which is kind of cool. And then we learned
that
so fucking dope. So Law reveals his name as Trafalgar D. Water Law. He's a member of the D family. Rosinante catches one of those. Like, hey, listen, I don't know much about this whole D thing, but I know it's bad news for you and me. All right. The D's are the natural enemies of Celestial Dragons. My brother was born one, and also is one for all intents and purposes. Things probably don't go well for you or him if you guys are together, so run away, little boy. And we also learn that he has joined the Navy at some point. Rosinante joined the Navy. I don't know when he found time to do that under Doflamingo's nose. That part I'm a little confused about.
I think there's a gap between them separating. They had a split for at least
my assumption here, because I was also worried, not worried. I was also confused by this potential outcome as well, but I came to the conclusion that it must have happened sometime when Doflamingo kills his father and then goes to Marijoie. Corazon doesn't go with him and they lose touch, because I'm sure Rosinante really loved their father more than Doflamingo did. So he probably stayed behind, maybe buried the rest of the body or something, and then just fucked off and did his own thing for a while. And apparently that led him to joining the Navy, and not only joining the Navy, but getting high enough, being there long enough to get high enough in rank to be a commander, and then be on to basically have Sengoku's cell phone number.
Mm-hmm. And then he's given special assignment of infiltrating the Dokiyoti family, which is interesting.
See, my bet is he didn't make it up that high, but because my theory is that Doflamingo has been, during that time when he joined the military, has been causing such a ruckus that Sengoku saw the potential of, I could have a mole, and sent him on a special.
I mean, that's clearly what happened. I'm not arguing that point, but he's literally a commander. It's this,
right?
Yeah, they show a poster of him.
Yeah, we see a file. Yeah,
file's probably more accurate. He's literally a commander, so that part is also true. So he's in the Navy for a long enough time to make it up the ladder and be recognized not only for his talent but also, of course, the potential for him to infiltrate the Don Quixote family with little resistance.
Mm.
And then as a side product of this, we learn about, well, we already knew this, but we see the beginnings of and the beginning mentions of Virgo reverse infiltrating and being a mole for the Don Quixote family in the Navy now. So because
he had Kobe's haircut,
it was like Kobe's haircut on steroids. There was like an extra bit on top, too, that was just like poofing out. It looked like a little squid or something sitting on his head. And then, of course, he still had the I get shit stuck to my face syndrome. So
we also learned that he was the first Corazon, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And I don't think nobody else really, I guess that's just the name that Doflamingo assigns to his right-hand man is Corazon, because no one else really has a code name that they go by that we know of, or that is used regularly enough in the show for us to just know by heart at this point. They have their suits,
well,
like they have been assigned a playing card suit, but none of them really have actual, like none of them are called, you know, whatever the Spanish name for a spade is or a club. That never happens.
Well, that's technically not true. Diamante is diamond, so he's the diamond suits, and treble, I remember this fact, I'm pretty sure treble is like the name of
disprove this specific one, treble anyway? Wasn't treble
there's potential for that.
Not at all a club?
Time to find out. I may be misremembering.
While he's Googling that, man, they definitely changed dramatically in their cushy lifestyles.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah, they, a lot of them really like, let themselves go in 16 years. I mean, 16 years is a long time. Things change, but...
like, I'm forgetting the names, Pink, but a Senor hard-boiled Pink guy. My dude looked... yeah, Pink looked awesome, and now look at him.
What are we fat-shaming Pink for? What's going on here? I'm not having this.
Hold on. I'm not fat-shaming. I'm talking about the drip.
Okay. As long as we're not fat shaming nobody on this podcast, I'm fine with whatever happens.
As a fat man, I can say he got fat.
to answer your question, sorry to interrupt. To answer your question. Treble is the Spanish word for clover, and the clover leaf symbol is the symbol of the clubs.
I guess I stand corrected then. I could have swore when we talked about treble last time that it was like, it was horribly not the thing.
It was probably our leading conversation, like that was the question presented, and then we probably relived this exact like process. But also during the flashback, when Law reveals his name, Baby Five and Buffalo made it clear that those aren't their actual names. And so I think it's safe to say that like everyone in that crew like has a code name or at least an alias of some sort. So I think that pokes a little bit of a hole in your
I guess that is true. I did forget about that part also.
Dialogue there. But anyway, continue, Devin.
He got
I mean, there's like multiple instances of this.
And he completely lost the drip. I could see how he was hard-boiled before, but now he's definitely soggy.
Hey, well, listen. I understand your hesitancy, your skepticism. Just trust the process, man. Trust the process.
Giola does
the
it too.
Process.
Giola becomes...
yeah. They all did it. Like the guy that did the tauntaun, he looked ripped and awesome, and now he's
listen, man. When you get old, you get fat, and you know they eventually live up some a lavish lifestyle not far more than what they used to have.
Look at Garp as my witness. You just because you get old does not mean you get fat. Look
he's
at
in the military,
all right?
He's got a whole profession where he needs to stay like that. That jacked.
What about especially at his level? What's his face? I was gonna say White Beard. What about
that's also
what
a bad
about
example.
What's Gold Roger's right hand man guy? What's his name? Rayleigh. What about Rayleigh?
Rayleigh.
There are many instances. There are so many instances.
For years. You gotta stay fit. You see those calves, bro?
Correja.
She's not a day over 130.
She's a doctor.
Oh, please. I don't want to hear shit. Doctors are like the worst people at taking care of themselves.
I don't know.
She literally smokes.
I've never noticed this trend.
They all
doctors
smoke,
not taking care
dude.
Of themselves.
Doctors are like habitual smokers and drinkers.
Okay, like regular, like general practitioner or like trauma surgeons.
Yes. all of them.
I can believe anyone in an ER or a trauma
any of them that have to work like 12-hour shifts. They're like or like 16-hour shifts. It's just they almost invariably end up smokers and or drinkers. There are exceptions, of course, but I would say a majority of them, as someone not in the profession whatsoever, from my limited experience, they're all smokers and drinkers.
But as Devin said, if someone's watched Grey's Anatomy,
I have enough Grey's Anatomy under my belt to understand.
I got 12 seasons in a movie. I was going to
make some other point, and now I don't remember what it was anymore. So I guess it's just a moot point.
What's his name? God, there's a lot. All their names. The one that wears heels.
Oh, Little Dellinger.
Dellinger. Oh, that was pretty funny. There was one scene.
The first scene that you see him is Baby Five, like wiping his nose or something. Mm-hmm. Which, side note, how does Baby Five end up in the Don Quixote family?
How did any of the kids end up in the Don Quixote family?
Law is one thing. Like, he's got the crazy in his eye. Dellinger probably also had the crazy in his eye. We don't see it, but Dellinger probably also had the crazy in his eye. But Baby Five is like an innocent child. How did she... With a devil fruit. That's
what about Buffalo? Why are we forgetting Buffalo?
I'm just saying, but like Buffalo's like a teenager or something at this point, or just like a really big child. I don't know. He's definitely a really big child, to be fair. but Baby Five in particular is just like this big crybaby small child who's asked innocent questions and is just kind of all around sweet and innocent. The only thing that's different about her is that she's got this devil fruit out of her leg.
She can make a gun.
I ask these same questions. I do wonder how these kids got to ending up in the family, especially when we eventually understand that, it's implied that part of Corazon's job with the Navy is to like intentionally like beat these kids and make their lives hell in the hope that he like dissuades them from joining. And he's been largely successful, minus, you know, the eventual four kids that would join. I don't know. I did think about it. Like, what could have happened in their lives where they seemingly have, like, no one to rely on and find themselves at the doorstep of one Don Quixote Doflamingo?
Speaking of the, you know, all of them, because, again, talking about her gun reminded me of this, of the guns. And like how like for the first time, like it shows the one of the guns having no ammo and switching to another revolver, but then immediately switching back in one piece fashion.
It was great. I loved it. I was like, oh, Gladius has a really cool model of a gun. He's got two revolvers. That's cool.
And then we jump over
to semi-automatic.
Pulls out the musket with unlimited ammo in it. Just
It was amazing.
We saw the fucking Mac-11s. Why don't we just use like modern-ish looking weapons? Why are we still using flintlocks that are pump action machine guns? Why did he have a pump action shotgun machine gun? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because censorship.
That's my explanation.
Modern day weapons scary.
See, my favorite about some of these scenes is just the stormtrooper to the nth degree that the citizens are. Because the whole time, there's two different instances of the Don Quixote family just doing thing. There's the one where they have the shootout in the warehouse, and then there's that's the very egregious one where they're just walking down the street as somebody tells this. I think Gladius and Senor Pink combined tell the story of the town of Flevins. And so they're just casually walking and the townspeople are missing every single shot. It's the longest walk of any of their lives and they don't get a hit a single time. It's hilarious.
They're like perpetually 20 feet away.
They never get closer to their target ever. They're just walking infinitely towards the group of commoners telling this story and not attempting to dodge in any way, shape, or form. They're just walking.
It was great. I loved it. I loved everything around this. It was great. It's so dumb, and I loved every moment of it. Anything else we want to talk about? I feel like we're definitely missing something, but like anything you guys want to talk about?
I like Corazon's fruit. I think it has a lot of cool...
It's too bad we're not going to see any of them.
Uses.
Oh, we don't know that. This is a good question.
No.
Do you think the backstory is over?
It can't be over.
No.
Okay.
We haven't seen Corazon die yet.
It's just begun. What if, hold up, Corazon's not actually dead?
It's possible, maybe.
I mean, sure, anything's possible, One Piece, but that would be rather deflating.
But possible, sure. With Sabo living,
we've been bamboozled in a backstory once. Assuming makes an ass out of you and me. I'm just saying, we don't know if he's dead.
We haven't seen him die, but we just got Sabo back alive after quote unquote dying in a backstory. You think they'll double down on it in the same arc?
Well, you and I both know.
Well, I understand, but like the story would have you believe he died in that backstory. So
on two sides of the aisle, we have what's his name? Sabo is simply one exception to the rule, an anomaly, if you will. And on the other side of the aisle, we have Sabo's enough reason for me to have doubts for the rest of my life.
I'm pretty convinced that Corazon is dead. Like, dead.
I'm going to laugh if he isn't dead. I'll eat my words if he dies on screen next week. Like, don't get me wrong. I fully believe he's probably actually going to die on screen. Like, traditionally, you know, we're going to see him dead. But if he's not on screen, I will switch over.
If he doesn't die on screen, I will also absolutely switch over. It's the golden rule.
Okay, so I think we covered everything. There is one thing I got to mention because it does also lead to my next question. So do you guys have anything you want to bring up before I lead us along?
I love that, Brad.
Clearly, I was not prepared for that. Christian, anything? All right, cool. So the one important thing we did not mention yet is, so toward the end of the story or our episodes here, Rosinante, I'm just calling Corazon, so much easier. Corazon takes Law and he's like, hey, I'm going to like help find you a cure for your Amber Light Syndrome. We go through the whole process of him going through every hospital, astonished by how poorly Law is treated. Blows up the hospital, Jorko style. It's kind of funny, honestly. He's taken out at least 8 of them, and I'm pretty sure there's like a military following him. Anyway, so we go through all that. Eventually, they set up camp for the night, and we see Corazon just kind of like drinking to himself on a cliff, and he walks over to Law to like, you know, tuck him in, and he's just kind of talking out loud. Of just like, wow, I am so sorry that this is the life you've had to live. You know, when you stabbed me 2 years ago, I didn't say anything because I just knew you were in so much greater pain than this one stab wound I've experienced. And he has like he just cries to himself. He's just like really a puddle of a man. He's just like, wow, I didn't think I'd like, you know, grow a sentiment toward this kid or any kid really, but God, Law, I am just so sorry. And Law wakes up, I guess, and listens to this. And he's just like, oh, my God, someone like loves me. I thought I lost all of that. And then we see that Law kind of warms up to Corazon now after they spent like 2 years basically trying to kill each other. And so that was really nice. That was a really nice scene. That's where we start our glimpse of like, oh, we see why Law has such an affection for Corazon. And so now I ask you, what happens next? What do we think is going to happen between Law and Corazon?
We eat more lead. Yeah,
fight fire with fire.
All right. Well,
consume more lead. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The real answer is at some point they stumble upon the op fruit. I don't know how it happens, mm-hmm. but at some point they're going to come to pass with the op fruit, and Law's going to eat it, and they're going to figure out. Maybe it's even in a book, although if it was in a book, you'd think maybe they were hunting down for it. But so why why Corazon lets him eat this fruit? Who knows? Maybe for some reason they know it's the op fruit, and the op fruit is known for having this particular power set, or they just say, fuck it. Is probably more likely. They just go, he's close to dying anyway, so let's just feed him the first devil fruit we find. And it turned out to be the op fruit, and he's really fucking lucky about it. So so that's one thing. The only other thing that has to happen is the alleged Corazon gets killed by Doflamingo moment. So
see, I already got you thinking about it.
Well, alleged. Yeah. Yeah, I got to cover the bases now. Now that the door's been cracked on that potential theory, you know, just gonna.
He can't let you own him too hard.
This is me sticking my pinky toe in the door so that when he doesn't die on screen next week, I can go, I was here the whole time.
I was on board this whole time.
I always knew Corazon was alive.
never a thought crossed my head otherwise.
But yeah, so like clearly there's two things that we have to see. They'll stumble upon the op-op fruit, and then to some other extent, I presume that somehow it'll be outed that Corazon is in the military. That feels like the only reason that Doflamingo would really ever execute Corazon is he's recognized as a Navy spy.
Gotcha. See,
part of me feels that Doflamingo wouldn't really care. I think it's going to be more along the lines of Doflamingo's going to be like, wait, you're not evil like I am?
Well...
Now
that's
I
like
kill
I bet that's part of it, because he'd be like, oh, this guy that I thought was ruthless and also is my only remaining family who's been through thick and thin with me turns out to not only be as fucked up as I am, but also has been working actively against me this entire time.
But at the same time, Doflamingo also becomes a warlord.
Right, but that's means to an end. And Corazon being part of the Navy is not a means to an end for Doflamingo. That's actively working against him. It's not that he's working with the Navy. It's that the Navy is A, his brother, and B, it's his brother working against him. It could have been another pirate crew. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Navy. It could have just been he could have been part of Whitebeard's crew or something like that, and was like plotting to take down Doflamingo family from the inside. But the Navy is just a different text label to slap on it. It's just the betrayal.
You know, I'm willing to throw us a curveball here. So we obviously see Virgo infiltrate the Navy. What if Corazon is doing the same thing and we just are kind of being red herringed right now?
What does that mean?
So the way Corazon is presented to us is that he is a mole for the Navy into the Don Quixote family. Virgo is the opposite, as we've established. He works for the family, is infiltrating the Navy. What if the way we are presented to Corazon's position is... incorrect, and he's he's double Virgo, agenting, where he is,
or triple agenting. You
know, yes,
right.
I can't math. I can only count to four.
Like you're proposing that Doflamingo told Corazon to go and get enlisted in the Navy, so that the Navy would eventually trust him, and then I don't think that's true. I appreciate the thought. I don't think it's true, though. I think Corazon's too nice of a guy and genuinely believes that his brother's a piece of shit.
You know, you present this, and this is a valid understanding of the situation. I just can't help but ask myself, what happened between Corazon and Doflamingo in terms of like their experiences, where like they lived through the same childhood up until a certain point, the same lifestyle up until a certain point, but they ended up seemingly two very opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think about that all the time, where I'm like, how did you two live the exact same life, more or less?
This is vastly different
outlooks, allegedly.
This is like the nature nurture thing that you were bringing up earlier without bringing it up explicitly, where you're talking about how Doflamingo can't possibly be just inherently evil. But my point that I was making earlier too was that Corazon lived through the exact same things, but he's a nice guy. Like, he's a reasonable person who cares about people, and Doflamingo is still just a bigger asshole. So there has to be something. And, you know, as you pointed out, they lived through the exact same experiences. Doflamingo has just had one extra year of life or something to that effect. Otherwise, they lived through the same and processed this, not processed, they lived through the exact same things. Mom dying of, you know, of illness, being run out of their home, starving, being sick, hungry, that one fateful night. This is the part where it makes more sense that something inherently is different in Doflamingo, that he's just more prone to evil and negative thoughts. So like, it has to be more than just the environment they grew up in, because they had the same thing.
Psychopathy.
Okay.
Right.
Like, literally psychopathy.
There's just something different in Doflamingo's brain. He processes things differently than his brother. His brother has more capacity for compassion an understanding of like where people are coming from and the reasons they're acting the way they are. Clearly, it seems like to me that Corazon fully comprehended why the people were angry. And while he may still harbor some hatred, he's not making it the world's problem. He's either dealt with those emotions already in a somewhat healthy fashion and is now trying to make the world better through his actions and like or atone in some way, maybe, for the actions of past celestial dragons by being the person that he is, enlisting in the Navy and wanting to help people, as opposed to Doflamingo, who just says, fuck everybody, you fuck my life up, so now I'm making all of your problems and fucking all your lives up.
Interesting.
So next week.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's everything.
Right? Everything? I feel like everything? I feel like
that's pretty much everything.
All right, cool. Devin, continue.
Next week is 704 to 706. Any quotes? I got one.
I forgot to go back and write them down. Go on.
It's the scene where Corazon is like, ah, shit. Like, he's going to snitch on me. And Law comes out. He goes, haha, I didn't. Because remember that time I stabbed you?
And you didn't
We're
snitch?
We're even. Yeah. Yeah. And you didn't snitch? Haha. Bye.
We're even now.
Like, yep. We're even now.
I think the one quote that really kind of stuck out to me is, I think it's during the scene where Don Quixote Doflamingo is being strung up by the crowd, and we get that flashback sequence of like all the hardships he's endured, and he starts monologuing to himself of like, for the first time, I feel hungry, I feel pain, I feel this, I feel that. And a part of me was kind of like, I don't know, I started to grow a heart for the guy. I'm like, damn, this is rough. And then eventually the monologuing leads up into like, fuck everyone. I hate every single person. I hate my father for putting us in the position, which I think is a very valid position for an 8-year-old to have, by the way. I think that is perfectly plausible for like, his dad is like more or less directly the cause for like his hardships. I can understand all the resentment he feels on a logical level. But anyway, something about those quotes or that monologue just kind of like stuck into my brain for some reason.
That's valid. I will reiterate in the quotes of the episodes that I watched what Justin basically outlined earlier, when Corazon is kneeling over the sleeping, or at one point sleeping, Law after he tucks him in, and he says, "You're still a rude little boy, and hearing you say I'll die soon is heartbreaking." Oh, lost it. You say all that. Yeah. You stabbed me that day, but it didn't hurt at all. I know you were the one who was in pain, you poor thing. And all the while he's crying endlessly, a little bit drunk, up in his fields. So it's pretty powerful stuff. And then, you know, you see, like you said, again, you see Law's face. He's awake the entire time and also begins crying because nobody has cared for him like that since his parents died. And now this is essentially the beginning of their bond together. And I also I didn't write it down, but there's also the immediate next morning too, when Corazon gets really happy that Law called him Corazon instead of Corazon. That was really cute, too. The only other quote that I actually wrote down, though, was when we come back to the present day and Law is fighting Doflamingo, and he says in his inner monologue, he says, "Corazon," using the name again, "the tears you shed for me, I won't ever forget."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's some good shit right there, man.
But that's it. That's all I got. Oh, man. That's it. He's his own man's right now. He needs to work through it. I'll pat his back.
That's crazy. I'm here, my emotional turmoil.
I'll give him like a back rub if he really wants it. If it starts getting like violent sobbing, like, yeah. No, like, I don't know. I'll give him a pat on the back with my real hand. Maybe.
After we watch the Iron Claw together, this is what happens.
It should be coming out. Like,
I'm excited for that one.
They're listening to this episode, Iron Claw will be out. So I hope you all enjoyed that. But as of our recording, it should be out in theory like in a day or two, assuming Dylan caught up on editing at all this weekend. I can't wait to listen to it also. It's going to be It's great. It was great. It was a good time. Sad time, but a good time.
Good times, good times. Bad times, but good times.
That's it.
That's it for quotes, question mark. All right. Golden ham. What are you feeling?
Okay. So the actual answer should probably be Corazon, right?
I'm not. I'm not voting for a rat with an apple.
It's beautiful, and you know it.
I'm not voting for the Om Nom rat.
Exactly. It is a majestic rat. You should bow to him. He can't even eat the core of the apple, but he's trying. He's gonna eat anything
you put in front of him. What are you talking about? He's trying. Of course he's trying. Fucking rat.
You know,
so stupid of all the things to hyper focus on. It's a fucking, it's 5 seconds of a rat on a rooftop.
To think of all the characters that Devin could have placed an emotional tether on.
Nonsense.
Law for his tragic backstory.
Garbage.
Corazon for being a character.
Worthless.
Even Doflamingo for his tragic backstory. I would have accepted any of those. No, rat. He has a bond rats, with the rats.
We are the rats. Rats. We are the rats.
Which granted, some members, one in particular,
you would have voted for him for golden ham if he was carrying a fucking pizza.
I plead the fifth.
Anyway. I do not think that Devin's alone on this. There are many.
I want rat justice.
Community members out there who would support this. One in my mind comes.
I mean, I'm one of them. If it just wasn't in these episodes. If this was rat with an apple core in a nonsense set of episodes, like what happened, like last week or the week before, like then I'm in. Maybe not last week, but like the week before, then I'm in. But for this, I'm in. I'm all in on Corazon. Hands down.
Excuse me.
The rat will never come back. The Corazon is next week.
You know, Devin, I will say that particular rat will probably never make a reoccurrence. However,
no!
I say probably. I don't know. I didn't really get a good look at him. I think clearly that rat has been burned into the prefrontal cortex of your mind. But so if you see him again, let us know. But what I will say,
I'm going to keep my eyes pierced for every rat in this fucking show.
What I will say,
another poorly animated rat, he better get it.
There will be other rat-like friends. I don't know if I say rat-like, but you know, there will be other rats and mice in the story to come.
Of rats and men.
And one of these rats will make you cry one day. Mark my words.
I don't want Apple Rat to make me cry. You also did
I didn't say it was Apple Rat.
Apple Rat will make you cry, damn it.
Okay, that's fair. I'm just saying a rat or a mouse, whatever, one of the same really, will make you guys cry one day.
They're not the same.
They're basically the
not
same.
Not true at all, but rodent we'll move rodent, on. Right? Corazon gets the golden ham.
Capybara is technically a rodent. You're saying a capybara and a rat? A capybara
is definitely a big fat rat, all right? You won't hear any arguments from me. It's kind of a cute rat, but it's a big fat rat.
So Corazon.
Anyway, we're voting for Corazon this week, yeah? All right, beautiful. Bellissimo.
Rat.
I can.
I can't believe Devin's the rat.
I can absolutely believe that. Are you kidding me?
I am the rat king. I would definitely carry around a staff and be like,
No. Like an actual, like a legitimate rat king. Like you're just a cluster of rats tied with their tails tied together, yeah.
You mean with
in
all
a
my
trench coat.
I'm just a cluster.
Do we have fan mail this week, Justin?
Yes, we do. Shout out to our community member, Tori, who recently started striking conversations on Instagram. So shout out to you, Tori. Tori writes, "What's up, fuckers? Ran out of podcasts every day. So I restarted the podcast. Same, actually. And discovered my all-time favorite dub quote. In Alabasta, when Nami is talking crap to Croco Boy, she says, like, once they get out of here, they're going to come beat your ass. And Luffy goes, yeah, you better believe it, buddy. I don't know why that's my Luffy voice.
The way it sounds just makes me think of Naruto if he was a Canadian in South Park. Oddly specific. I don't have a reference for that one. Sorry.
No, I'm just picturing Canadian.
Yeah, Canadian I have the visual.
South Park, Luffy can't hurt you. He's not real.
Also, just past the episode where I asked about the fish fruit and made Brendan mad. I forgot to go look for that email to get context, but you know, whatever.
Swim.
Fish fruit. Like, could a fish fruit?
Probably. I don't remember what made Brendan angry anymore, but
I remember this conversation. Probably the persistence.
Speaking of quotes, though, my fault. I do have a question. What is your guys' all-time favorite quote so far in the show, or one that's just really memorable? Much love, you guys. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Tori. I'm gonna start it off real quick, really simple, easy. I think it was in that same episode or a couple episodes prior to the quote you mentioned there, Tori. Shout out to my boy Usopp one time for calling Smoker a refugee from an ashtray. That will forever live rent free in my mind.
Show for the actual show, like not our podcast quotes.
Not shit that we've said, because my first gut instinct was Lasso the Gun Dog. But
you know what? Honestly, I respect that interpretation. I think Tori would also appreciate that information. So either the intention was the show of One Piece. But if you got a quote from our podcast, I want to hear it.
I definitely don't think I have a. I mean, there are, but like Brendan chainsaw noises and but like we've done this before, or like carne asada, like that's
carne
like
carne asada.
Yeah. I'll give you one each of a serious one and a joke one. The serious one for me is Robin saying that she wants to live. That'll always be in the upper echelon of One Piece quotes for me. There are others that I just won't name. I'll keep them in my back pocket in case we ever answer this question again. But that'll be my serious one. My joke one will be anytime on Thriller Bark that Luffy just referred to the zombies as like old men with horrible wounds.
Decrepit old men.
Yeah, with a horrible scar or whatever. It was something along those lines. But he just referred to zombies as not zombies every single time. It was so funny.
You know, another shout out to that Robin quote, by the way. This also just reminded me. Only other quote that I can't say line for line because it's a pretty long one. But the scene where Law cuts Punk Hazard in half and he starts monologuing to Verigo or Doflamingo, I forgot which one. About just like the winds of change that are coming from the worst generation. That gave me chills. I still like that one. Plus, just like the scene of fucking Punk Hazard sliced in half just kind of like compounds on it. That's everything for me.
I don't really remember the quotes specifically, except for out of memes, like the One Piece is real, like Whitebeard. Like, right? Like, that. I guess that counts. But like for me, it's like the most memorable has to be just like watch, like it's the sound effects, right? And it's like seeing Whitebeard like grab the fucking air and like doing the first tremor that we see him do that break the sticks world. In my head like that stuck in my head. Now as for quotes, it's just I focus on rat brains, okay? That's my specialty. I look at the rat. I look at the pump action automatic shotgun muzzle loader. Like, that's what I look for.
He's a visual learner. His auditory perception isn't as attuned as his visual ones, clearly.
Which is ironic because I am blind.
Yeah. So thanks for the email, Tori.
I just don't memorize quotes. That's why I never have any during the week. It's because, like, to me, the quotes... they hit. I go based on the what makes me feel like, ooh, that sent shivers down my spine. That's what I'm going for. Not the ooh, those words be doing goodly in my ears. Half the time it's gibberish. All I'm hearing is rat king, rat king, rat king, rat king.
You know, one day I hope Devin comes across a quote from One Piece that is loud enough to drown out the noise of his all general the rats psychosis.
Controlling my body.
A quote so loud
finally gets the attention of my rats.
Yeah, a quote so loud and profound that it gets your rat, the rat and the literal rat in your brain to stop operating for half a second. And be like,
we gotta write that one down.
Whoa. That was whoa,
swoosh, swoosh. All right, thank you, Tori.
Thank you for the email, Tori. Appreciate you. Moving on to Patreon shoutouts.
TTR.
Shoutouts to Twigo, Taco, and Ren. TTR. Y'all the goats.
I just collected 2 out of 3 of your movies today. And they will be scheduled promptly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also shout out to all of our patrons out there. We couldn't do this without you. I should also check back our Patreon. I did make a piece of content a couple of days ago. It's not, you know, it's what I gave you. Am I going to call it the best thing I've ever made? No. But, you know, I liked it and I hope you liked it too. And if you didn't, just tell me why.
Yeah, yell at him.
Yeah.
Tell him he's trash. He wants it. Throw apple cores at him for disrespecting the rat.
Hey, wait, wait, no, no. I'm sensitive.
I'm sensitive.
No, 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 no.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm sensitive.
Hey.
Christian.
It's Garbin time. Devin, did you bring the thing back to me? Finally, like I asked last week, or did you keep it and forget again? What happened to me being the keeper of the gab? I asked you to bring it back to me because I was busy this week. So then how did it end up back
in
you?
The alley, like you said. And
why did you come back? Just trust that I'm coming for it.
I guess it was the wrong alley. I don't.
No, you don't. You have a gab.
Well, anyways, I have a bag. Reach your hand in. I have a gab.
Here you go. Okay.
Reach in there.
Oh, it's like hard and like chalky almost. And I would know. I'm a rock climber. But this is different.
What the hell?
Okay. Yeah,
go on.
Is that those bones? Is that... Do these rocks have bones in them? Did you go archaeological digging?
Oh, wait, this is the wrong bag.
Oh, shit. Wrong bag?
Hold on. Wrong bag. Here you go.
Huh?
Anyways, here's the right bag. Or gab. This is the that was my bag.
Oh, that was dry lead base paint. Oh, I got to go to the doctor.
Here's the gab.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's normal slips of paper in this one. So I guess that's a good sign. All right. Let me just unfold it here. We're going to get a little bit of this action going. All right, it's Who's That Pokemon? And I'll flip it over here so we can get the name. And we're doing Law this week. So what Pokemon represents Trafalgar D. Water Law?
Jesus Christ.
You know, we never really went over the water part of his name either, but yeah.
So he's a water.
Battle Waterloo makes sense to me. Is the inspiration.
Justin, do you have an answer? Because clearly Devin doesn't.
well, I'll be honest with you. I barely have an answer above nothing? Devin's because I had trouble thinking about this, even though I'm like just barely at an answer. Things that come to mind are the Pokemon Persian, because I think about the fact that Law's inspiration in terms of aesthetic was the Snow Leopard. And I could not think of a Snow Leopard Pokemon. There might be one out there, but I could have just Googled it, but I didn't. Anyway, so Persian is like the closest thing that comes to mind. Another one that comes to mind is, am I thinking of the right Pokemon's name? I think it's called, is it called Weevil, Snivy, both, Sneevy? It's like a cat. Looking like Pokemon, it's got black fur, some like white outlines, and it's got one really pronounced claw.
Weavile is a Pokemon. It's the one with the red crest on its head, though.
Nah, I gotta think of this Pokemon. I can visualize the Pokemon. I'm just definitely forgetting its name. It's gonna be like Dark and Ice, maybe. At least it's like sick. Yes. This Pokemon is on my screen. What are you called? I need a name. Who are you?
That's the Weavile,
I think is the name I'm looking for.
With the red crest?
Hold on, let me double confirm. Yeah, Weavile. Not that. Well, I'm thinking of the one Sneasel. That's the one. Sneasel is the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Weavile's the other Weavile form. Sneasel is the one I'm thinking of.
I see it. Kind of.
Yeah.
Sneasel. Oh.
Okay. This one's gonna sound really mean. I would like to turn your attention, if you will Google Galarian Corsola for me.
Galarian.
No.
I don't even think any of the Galarian Corsola? Primer what Corsola looks like.
You'll see kind of what I'm getting at, I think.
I knew exactly where this was going.
Galarian Corsola is, so if you know Corsola is a very happy looking piece of coral type Pokemon, pink and blue. Galarian Corsola is the dead version of that, and it's white and gray and part ghost type. It's literally ghost type, I believe.
This thing is like an embodiment of like the real life situation in yeah. Australia of like the coral reef is dying. Bro, what do they do to my boy Corsola?
Why
would
happened
they do
in,
this
in the Galarian Why? Region that that Corsola ended up this way? But the white patchiness to it reminded me of the white lead disease. So here I am giving you Galarian Corsola.
Whoa, I'm distraught. I'm heartbroken. This is awful. Unrelated, or not unrelated, but on the Pokemon train, I decided to Google snow leopard Pokemon just out of curiosity, and I came across this little fella as soon as this page loads for me, known as Chien Pao.
Oh, that's the one that like stands up.
Honestly,
on 2P,
this Pokemon
right?
looks like something out of Monster Hunter. It looks badass.
I think. Oh no, that's not at all.
Currently, this picture
of.
Is showing me he's on all fours. If he's bipedal, I cannot tell you. It's
a
cool looking Pokemon.
I'm thinking of a different one. If he's one, on then. All fours, that's a quadruped. Bipedal is two feet.
Also, his like, so yeah, he's like a snow leopard according to this, but also he's kind of like got like saber tooth tiger kind of vibes. But his teeth are part icicle, as far as I can tell by this picture. But also, like, they don't just like, they're not just in his mouth and protruding past his lips. It's like, this is probably like fabric or something, but it looks like chains are like hanging out from his mouth, and at the tip of the chain are his icicle saber teeth, which is just really cool. This is a cool looking Pokemon. I don't know where these came from. Cool.
I found the one that I want, but I'm looking to see if there's variations of it because Christian inspired me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm scared.
Do you want to give us the first version first?
Hold on. First I typed in angry Pokemon, and these are the two.
Sure, so I suppose. Yeah, he's got the
Krogunk.
But the one on the left was my first initial response. Are
they dugongs, or I think they're seals in that form? Oh, I see.
Well, I was right. referring to the,
great
the
for
eyeballs,
the audio based
like
platform.
Looking at their eyes, they're all cranky. But now I'm looking for steel type Krogunk. Krogunk.
I don't think you're gonna find
or
that
lead
one. But
based Krogunk.
Did you actually find something?
Come on.
No, that's the thing. I'm not very good at Google. Wait, I don't know if this is fan mail.
I mean, Krogunk already works kind of because he's got the eyeliner. So
different variations
that aesthetically alone is good.
I'm just looking at this picture of angry Lapis, and something about it is kind of funny. Why are these Pokemon so mad? Who like peed in their tank?
I don't know. That's why I picked it.
I've never seen an angry Lapras before. This is such an experience.
But yeah, Krogunk's a water type.
He is
so
water.
I was like, that's fitting. He has water in his name. They're watery.
Yeah, it's the evolved form.
There's a toxic one.
Toxicroak?
There it is. Toxicroak.
That's fair.
Because lead
he doesn't
toxic.
Employ lead in his daily life, though. Like, Toxicroak can use his toxins, but sure, I'll take it. He's still got the eyeliner. He looks angry all the time.
Yep.
Cool. Another successful Pokemon. Well, who's that Pokemon in the books?
Glad we did this. Galarian Corsola is going to keep me up tonight.
Awesome. 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 Devin. Do the thing, please.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Panda Sightings. You can send us questions at pandasightings@gmail.com. If you want to get in with the Rat King fucking vibes, join the Discord as well, because I'm going to be doing a lot of Rat King shit now. We also, if you want to financially support us, we have a Patreon and a Redbubble where you can buy stickers like a Zeph's pickled left leg. I'm forgetting something else. Oh, there's also a Happy Arab American Month. By
Did
the time this comes
happy
out,
American
Ramadan
month?
Has ended. So
I thought he skipped
Arab American Month.
Eid Mubarak to all the Muslim homies out there. Happy Eid.
Oh, it's so the holiday. Eid,
is that a name or is that like a
Eid
saying?
Is the holiday. Mubarak is kind of like saying merry or happy in this context.
Okay. Yeah. That it would have been nice to know that.
I also didn't intend for you to read that. That was mostly for me, but appreciate you.
This is my section.
Well, you always say how like you don't have, we don't write it down for you because you prefer to just go off the dome. And so, you know, I didn't expect you to read.
The Rat King demands recompense. I don't know. I used a big word. It's a Rat King thing. We use big words like photosynthesis.
I'm not convinced that he did.
Did he even finish the thing? I don't even know. Neither am I.
You can't
proof.
I mean, I can, but it would involve stopping the recording anyway, and we're already at the end.
Ah, I cast testicular nuts. Contortion.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Email us. Reach out to us on socials. Donate to our Patreon. Buy our stickers. Listen to Panda View. We're on YouTube. Join our Discord. Eid Mubarak, my friends.
I can't have
what
kids.
What a way to go out. Holy.
Bye.
Get me out of here.